each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father, how are you?
You always make me nervous because I don't know if you're going to come in, and I don't know how well I do without having you as my my crutch. You know?
Crutch.
So, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's, although Nick is on the other side, but I can't speak
right,
with Nick.
The way it's just, you know, positioned.
So I'm although I've done it a couple of times without anybody in the studio, right. But I prefer to have you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice. But anyway, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good, and welcome to all our listeners, our thousands. You know, I have to
thousands.
Say, no, I shouldn't say we have thousands, but it would be nice. Although we've had, I think the last I heard, we had about 5,000 who...
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening.
But you know, what's interesting is the Facebook, now this is the parish Facebook, and to be honest, I'm I can't even say the word, technologically an idiot, ignorant. I don't apologize for that because I just I think I was meant for another time,
right.
And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be bound to that.
You're
that
not the
stuff,
only one. I feel the same
you
way.
Know, but it's necessary. I say it's necessary. It's part of the reality today,
yeah.
There's certainly a good. It in mm-hmm. and of itself, it's a good. At the same time, you know, we know that like everything, it is, in fact, in many ways, a source of there's a dark side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, an evil side, and it can even apart from the dark or the evil, it can become a certainly it not can. In fact, it is. I think. A major impediment or distraction to the nurturing of one's relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I say we get this Facebook, so some of our young parishioners, two brothers actually, put together this parish Facebook. And it's gotten 17,000. It gets 17,000 hits.
Wow!
So I guess that's what they call, you know.
Good.
And quite a few responses, you know, responses. Mm-hmm. So it's been effective in that sense, and it's a beautiful way to communicate. For instance, the healing mass, which we have this Sunday in Spanish. At 5:30, Eucharistic healing mass, and then the first Saturday of October will be the mass in English. So we get a lot of requests for prayers. So I bring those prayers, those petitions, into the chapel, into my own prayer. Even if I'm not in the chapel, you know, as I was in Rochester this past week, I just got back yesterday. And so, being in a hospital setting and waiting from one appointment to another appointment, you know, you've got a lot of time, and I like that time, to be honest. And I purposely, and that's why I was thinking about this. I watch everybody, I look around, and everybody's either in their computer or they're on their
phone.
Cell phone. I guess the cell phone is their computer, you know.
Yeah, it is now.
And it's it's interesting to see that, you know, and I've been watching this for years, but.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Father Anthony. In my vestments, I've just come right from the, I hope this isn't a sin or a sacrilege, but because I've just come from just a huge funeral. So, run down, a little bit out of breath. Thank God the church is, I've probably mentioned this before, but I could spend my whole life on 1, 2, 3, 4 floors, right? I live on maybe 2 floors. Two floors. So I live above the studio, 2 floors above the studio. 1 floor down is my office and my chapel and the church. And then the next floor down is the studio. So I could spend my whole life just going up and down the stairs from my room, which is my refuge, my sanctuary, my little my cave. I call it my, you know, the cave, the man cave, right, Tony? Right, the man cave.
Yeah, I'm on now. Okay.
Oh, are we on?
That's okay. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Anyway, so I'm just coming in from a huge funeral, yeah. Really big funeral. I just met this man. Because I've been going through cancer myself, you know, so he had 4-stage cancer, but I saw him, he was at a funeral a few months ago, and we talked, and the families, they've been part of the parish. The beautiful thing about, really, one of the, I'd say that the beautiful, beautiful thing about being in a parish for so many years, like 30 years almost, this year is 20, it'll be 30 years.
Yeah.
And I was 6 years an associate, working 6 years strictly with the Hispanic or Latino community, because that was about 85% of the neighborhood. And I came here thinking I was going to, they were going to send me to the mission in Oaxaca, in Mexico. And well, it didn't turn out. You know, I'm still here. 30 years later, I'm still here. But the beautiful thing about being in a place so long is, this is family, you know, and so now there's generations, different generations, and so while many have, because of the gentrification and all that, many have left, most have left the neighborhood right here in the heart of Chicago, so while many have left, they come back, so it's a beautiful thing for quinceañeras, for weddings, for baptisms, for funerals. And a funeral, I was thinking about this during the Mass, knowing, of course, that I was coming into the radio. A funeral is, you know, on the contrary, you know, people would say it's such a sad time. But is it really? I mean, it's the end of a journey. It's the end of a pilgrimage. Now, we're moving into the year 2020. We're in the year 2020. By the way, Happy New Year to everybody. And yet, and we pray, you know, we wish everybody a Happy New Year, a year of health, and I always say, I wish you a blessed, a peaceful, in this order, right? Mm-hmm. A blessed, peaceful, holy, healthy, and happy. I always use the word joy rather than happy, New Year. And we pray, we make our resolutions, and we pray that, you know, everybody will be, naturally, we want everybody to be healthy. But we know that one of these years, you know, it's inevitable. We're not meant to be here forever. We're here for a very short time when you think about it. I mean, this young man was only 47 years old.
Wow.
And, but even if you live to be 100, or if you live to be 110 or 120, or let's say even 130, what is that when you consider the fullness of time?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. And as I mentioned just now toward the end of the Mass, as we were departing, I said, you know, think about it, you know, in 100 years, or let's say 110 years or 120, but, you know, and also considering that we're celebrating the sacred mysteries of our faith, the Holy Mass, for 2,000 years.
Wow.
And we have such a little bit of time, but really think about this. In 100 years, the entire planet will be populated with different people, for the most part. I mean, those who are blessed with a really, really, really long life, and then you even wonder, you know, do I dare say, you know, is it really a blessing to live to be 100 or 110, you know, it's quality of life and all that. I mean, if you have quality of life, that's fine, but we're not meant to be here forever, you know. But we love life. We're lovers of life, and we're committed to life, and this is all we know. But it's not all we know, because those of us who have faith, those who nurture life in God, those who delve deep into the script, not even deep into the scripture, just meditate, reflect, ponder the sacred scripture. It's the best is yet to come. You know, all the tears will be wiped away. What was taken away will be given back. There's always more people waiting for us on the other side than those left behind. If we live in faith, we have to live in faith. We have to be in God's grace. And that's where the devil, the enemy, is so deceptive and so seductive, and creates the illusion that we're going to be here forever, or that we can, we don't have to, you know, because as I say, and I've said it to people to you all the time, I repeat this over, but, you know, we're not going to escape the sufferings of this life. Nobody will, you know. We can put on a front, but, and unfortunately, we're so influenced by the falsicity, or the falsehood of Hollywood, in a sense, that creates the illusion, you know. And everybody, they, you know, it's money, power, well, power, money, prestige, fame, you know, it's an illusion. It's a reality to a certain extent, but it's a reality that's passing away, you know. To nurture your life in God, to enter into the discipline of the faith, because that's about responsibility not only to oneself and to God, but to others as well. I mean, that's what brings the deepest peace. I don't know, Tony, did I say the other day, I was reflecting on Christmas Day, but even on New Year's as well, because we had seven or eight masses, you know, including the midnight mass, and so it was really, it was the 24-hour marathon of masses, and
right.
Some would think, and I've heard people say this, you know, what are you trying to prove, or, you know, you're nuts, or whatever, you could combine some. Well, you know what, for me, this is, I told the provincial a week ago or so. He didn't say that, actually, but he was saying, are you still doing all those masses? And I said, yeah. I said, Wes, I thrive on that.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do, though?
Isn't that what I'm, right, exactly. And even if it's only a small group of people, there's a great, in fact, you've said this before too, but I like it when it's a small group, and especially for New Year's or for Christmas, they're very focused people. Mm-hmm. They're people who in an intentional way, they know that this is at the center of their life, and so especially when it comes to New Year's, even though it is a holy day of obligation, but. The funeral is, I mean, when we say eternal rest, grant unto him, O Lord, may he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed by the mercy of God rest in peace. It's like the work of life is done. I think I mentioned once that I'm still in treatment, but I'm here, and it's not even that I'm suffering this. It's, but when I early on I asked the doctor, well, as I was going through the treatment, I'm still in the treatment, but I said, well, what can I do to help the process along? You know, of course, you know, you're supposed to eat right and exercise and all that. He said, you know, you just gotta rest and avoid stress. And I said, well, the only way to do that is to die, right?
Yeah.
Death is the end of all stress and the end of, and it's rest. If we die in God's grace, and if we're, you know, fully sanctified, so I know that if I were to die in this moment, you know, there would be the purging, the purgation that would, there's much that has to be purged from my life. But the purgation has begun, you know, it's already here. And anyway, but this young man was, when you've been diagnosed with cancer and you meet somebody else who's going through it, you're kindred spirits, you know, because, okay, I understand, I get it, I understand what you're going through, I know, you know, everybody's a little bit different and responds differently to treatments and all that, and you know, but at least it's like, you know, and it's not even that misery loves company. It's just, you know, how do we get through this? How do we get through this without God? I don't know. Without God and having people who love you around you. And really this is, and I mentioned this as well, the two pillars of life, the two pillars of life, and both are in crisis right now, is faith and the family, mm-hmm. and the family. If we lose one or the other, we lose so much, you know, really. So anyway, so that's that. But God give him rest, and it was a huge funeral. It was a very big funeral. That's why I was late coming in, because it was a very, very large funeral. So anyway, everybody, you know, we're going to take just a quick break, and we'll be right back. And it is a new year. We're in the year 2020, and this is all related to what I've been speaking about. But what are our resolutions? What must we do as we enter? I'll come back to this. Just remind me. Don't let me forget. Right. You know how my mind is. The grave injustice being done to our people when there is not clarity of faith and the clarity of morals and principles. And really our responsibility, the Holy Father, the Pope, the bishops, cardinals, bishops, the priests, and parents as well, to see to it that the faith is safeguarded, that there is clarity, so that we know what's expected of us, what we must do, and where we're going. So anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month. As Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written,
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, it seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story, always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon, wow, at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststanschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just one block north of Division on Noble.
Okay, everybody, we're back.
Now we're on.
So you probably heard us during the break. We didn't quite shut the mic off, but
stuff happens.
I told Armin we'll make the improvements in the next year.
Yeah, we just got reprimanded.
The next year, which is 2021, right?
Right.
This is 2020, so we're off to a bad start. Sorry. Okay. I don't even hear you.
You're not on.
I didn't hear you, Armin. So, yeah, you're on.
Get him on.
For some reason, I didn't hear him. Okay. Anyway.
So anyway.
No, you no.
Do they hear you out in?
Oh, maybe that's it.
Radio Land.
Testing,
I don't know
testing.
How these things work.
The wizard is here.
Well, carry on.
Put the wizard on the mic.
No silence in radio, right?
There's no
we
silence.
Keep going. So, anyway, are you on now?
I don't know.
No,
I don't hear you. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, not meant to be. Oh, there you go.
It's all right.
Okay. That's okay. So we apologize, Arm. You can
get the kinks out right now.
It's gonna be one of those crazy. This is not a good way to start the year.
This is why I like when Armin's here, because when things break down or things like that, if it's not Nick, it's Armin who are on top of everything.
For some reason, when Armin's here, I always feel like I've got to make sure I get all those breaks in.
Yeah.
But I do that. I'm really
we can't say, oh, no, we're not going to do it.
To obedience, you know. So.
Right.
You're diligent.
We frustrate poor Nick over there.
Yeah.
So Happy New Year,
Nick,
by
Nick's
the way.
Problem.
You know. So anyway, speaking of the new year... Mm-hmm. Resolutions. Let me go back to what I was as I because I think it's a this is a grave injustice. There's a lot of division, you know, and in the church, and a lot of confusion, a lot of ambiguity that shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I was telling the people yesterday, and I think you know this is a year when I want to be a bit more proactive. When I say proactive, I mean and I say it with prudence, but we've got to confront the issues we're up against, and that is that we cannot be intimidated by let me just say this. There, and this is, I think, this is the good news, is I'm finding and I'm hearing more and more young people. Now, we're not talking about the multitude, but we're talking people, young people, millennials. And I don't know what constitutes a millennial, from what age to what age. I don't think you're a millennial, Tony.
No.
I think Nick
Thank
probably
God.
Is. Nick, you are, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think Nick either.
Nick, is he over that?
I think
he's over the hill.
He's a little over the hill.
But
we're claiming him for us.
Well, so whatever. But because last night I was, he was born in 1982, so I'm not even sure.
No, I don't think so.
Yesterday in the gospel, we had St. John the Baptist, and the question was asked, the people came to him, they said, are you the one? There was something in the air at the time. There was this, call it an intuitive sense, a spiritual sense. I mean, these people have been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah, let's say from the fall of the... when they lost their status as a nation, so we're going 587 to the moment in history when God condescends and takes on our flesh. So for all those years they were waiting, you know, there was always that Anawim, the little flock that was keeping faith when many had gone astray, many were caught up in all kinds of idolatries and all that. But God always ensures for himself there's going to be a small flock that's going to keep faith. And so that, but even those who weren't, you know, real sensitive to the faith, but they, because the Spirit of God works in such a way that there was this, gosh, this intuitive sense that this was, there's something in the air, something's going on. And it's as if there's this all of a sudden welling up within eager anticipation of this inbreaking into history of the Messiah. Now, that the Messiah would be God in the flesh, that was something that wasn't understood, or they didn't conceive of that. But eventually, you know, with the conferring of the Holy Spirit after the life and suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, with the conferring of the Holy Spirit, then the that infused grace brings the church to understand what Jesus had, what he had taught, and what he came for, you know, God in the flesh to redeem us, to save us. But in any case, when John was performing the baptism, you know, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the path, people were, they were going in droves. They were coming because they knew that something was wrong. They had that sense. And they went, but it was very interesting. And because I rushed down, I don't have the readings with me. But the gospel, they said, and it was quite fascinating reading it again. But they said, "Are you the one, or do we look for another? Could you be the Messiah?" And the gospel says, in fact, if you just give me a second. So what was yesterday? Was January the 2nd. Just here we go. Got opened right up to it. I do have it here. Okay, so so the Jews sent priests and Levites to John the Baptist, and they said, "Who are you?" And And John admitted, he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted. I love the way that he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, I am not the Christ. So they said, well, what are you then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He says, no. And yet he was really the last of the prophets. So they said, who are you so we can give an answer to those who sent us? And he says to them, I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And then, of course, he goes on to speak of the Messiah, the Christ, that he's really in our midst. He's in our midst. What I sense today, it's not just a sense, but it's not just a sense, it's a reality, is there are many voices crying out in the wilderness, and they're crying out, make straight the way of the Lord, and they're crying out to the Pope and to the bishops, the cardinals, and the priests. This is fascinating to me, and it inspires me to no end, and I want to commit this year to trying to address to answer their call, mm-hmm. you know? Not that I haven't, but I want to be, with prudence, more direct, because these are young people who, they're not carrying the same baggage. They're coming from they're not coming from the same space or same era of many of the prelates or many of the priests, the older priests, like myself. But and this would include many young priests too, who are in that same space. But they see what's going on, and they, let's just say, intuitively understand that something really, really is amiss. Something's not right, and there's a crying out. And in fact, I've heard them say this. Now they say, who are they? There's just different. Blog spaces, or what do you call it? Blog spheres. What do you call that? Blog spheres.
Blogosphere.
Places I go to. I'm always looking all over the place and listening to see what people are saying, how people are responding to what's going on in the church. And it's the young people, the lay people, and maybe because part of the thing is priests are often a bit reluctant because, of course, they're under authority, and so they have to exercise a certain prudence. But the young lay people have a certain freedom, and I'm talking about men. I'm really talking about these are young men who are they're ready to go to battle, and I don't mean literally to fight with weapons, but to delve more deeply in it, to know the faith, but they're crying out and they're saying, and this is what I keep hearing. They're saying, where are our fathers? Where are the fathers? And isn't that not surprising? Because we live in an era when many have grown up with no fathers, or there's been the father who's been absent from their lives, or the men have been so let's just say, and I would say absolutely in the priesthood this has been the case as well, so. In many ways manipulated by radical feminism, and there's almost this is an apologetic response to who or what we should be as men, that we're called to be providers and protectors and preparers. We're looking off into the horizon. We see the storm that's coming. We've got to be ready to protect and defend and to provide and to prepare our people for the storms that are not really there on the horizon, but they've already enveloped the world. And so these young people are saying, hey, we're here, we're in this massive storm, and we're looking to the church to lead us, to show us Christ, to lead us to Christ. And it's not that they don't know, but they want to be confirmed in the faith. That's the thing. They want to be confirmed in the faith.
Cardinal Sarah feels pretty much the same way you do. He is convinced that it is the diminishment of fatherhood that is the greatest threat at this point because there's no familial leadership. And you're absolutely right about that.
This is Armin speaking, by the way, finally.
Fine.
But is that in his I read his latest book, The Day Is Far Spent. Is that in that
yes.
book? Or,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I've believed this for a long time. Yeah, but you see, these young men are crying. They're the ones who are crying out, and they're just saying, we want authenticity. We want, you know what it is? And as saying this yesterday to the people at Mass, you know, enough of the, enough of the politics. The church appears more and more in the world today as just another political entity among other political entities. And social justice has its place. It's a good and fine. But like I was telling the people yesterday, you know, if we're living our lives in Christ, we're nurturing that life in Christ, then we're going to, you know, first and foremost, take care of our own neck of the woods. In other words, I've got to, as a pastor in a parish, I've got to, I have to be ever present to the people that have been entrusted to my care and to know what's going on in their lives and how they're affected by this world in which we live. Otherwise, you know, I'm not living any kind of reality, or at least their reality. And their reality is reflective of the world's reality, but to be just caught up in the, I don't know, what am I trying to say is, you know, this defense of life, defense of the immigrant or the migrant, defense of the environment. All this is part of who we are as Christians. But if we're not dealing with, and this is primary to who we are and what we should be doing, is the salvation of the souls of these persons, you know, that I have to help you to come to know, to love, and to serve God, and to fulfill your responsibilities as a Catholic, as a Christian, a husband to wives, wives to husbands, parents to their children, children to their parents, brothers and sisters one to another, and then to the broader community. And in doing that, yes, mercy and compassion and understanding and even empathy, because we're all deeply affected by a disordered society, because the more we go away from God, the more God is not central to our lives, the more we accommodate or embrace we don't create the space to allow the Spirit of God or the potter to mold the clay of our lives. Let's just say that, the potter who molds the clay. Then we're caught up in the world, in the society, and we become lost. We become lost. We become lost. And so there's a deep wound. There's a deep division. One of the points I wanted to make was that I try to be, you know, prudent in protecting the anonymity, but of a people. But when I'm dealing with a big group of people, where many have already left the faith and are, let's say, born-again Christians, but find it very hard to embrace the Catholic faith, which is their mother, which is the mother church, and they were part of this, because now they're being taught, whether it be a fundamental approach or from an evangelical, Pentecostal approach, a more of a sensate, you know, feeling kind of a religion, it becomes, and then they look at the Catholic Church, what's going on in the Catholic Church, where it's just the things have been so politicized, or just, you know, and I don't know how the church is dealing with this, and it is an issue that has to be addressed, and this is part of the problem, is that it's not being addressed. What has happened to the church in China, you know? What has the prelates, the governing body of the universal church, you know, there in the Vatican, what have they done to the church in China? The faithful Catholics who were kind of in the underground, and suffering the faith, and we're just basically thrown under the bus. I mean, somebody explain that to me and defend the position of the church to negotiate with the government so that the government is involved in the...
There's no negotiation with the government. Yeah. None whatsoever.
Well, but the negotiation insofar as government has the authority, right, to determine who will be the heads of the church or the bishops of the church in China. Am I wrong?
That's true, yes. Well, historically, the church has entered into similar agreements back in the medieval times. But that's a problem. It's a problem now, and it was a bad deal.
I was just reading the other day that the government in China has issued laws stating that the church, all churches, have to teach or inculcate communism. Do you want me? I turn you on here.
No.
Okay. We got a lot going on in the studio here, but and display the I think the photo, the picture of the emperor.
This sounds a lot like, you know, history. This is how this seems like we've gone through this before. That's what my understanding is.
But anyway, to make the point I wanted to make, I guess, I don't know how I got off on that. I think it's just an example of one of many things that's going on right now.
You know what? The things that really bother me are just that it seems like we don't focus on the faith. I believe if we knew our faith, things like climate change, immigrants, and all this, we would be doing the proper things already. But it seems that you take the focus off what you believe, and things like climate change become our gods, or, you know, the treatment of people become our gods, and the state will take care of us, and who is God? That's what bothers me.
And the fact that we're dealing again now with the question of whether women are going to be deacons or whether we're going to priests.
How does this really have anything to do with knowing your faith? I mean, again, it's about people wanting things. And well, this is always the case.
I go back to this idea, an accommodation with the spirit of the world, the way of the world. In fact, Cardinal Mueller was just speaking to some young people in a university about that you know, that the church is seemingly more under the influence of the spirit of the world rather than the spirit of Christ. And this is where I go back to my... initially, what I was saying is that the good thing is, young people are this is an intuitive sense they have. They're delving deep into the faith, but they want to be affirmed and confirmed by the prelates of the church, the priests of the church.
That's not going to happen.
They want to know. You know what? As I heard yesterday, it was, and we'll take a break. Mm-hmm. And it's so true because I've felt it all along under the years of this papacy under Pope Francis. You know, the constant chiding, the constant criticizing, name calling. I mean, others
pick up on that.
Yeah. People that are trying to hold to the faith, trying to have clarity in the midst of all this ambiguity and confusion in the world. It's stuff that we find in the truth of our faith, in the catechism of the Catholic Church, and see the whole how God has revealed himself in history, the beauty of the nuptial, the marriage, the uniqueness and distinctness between man and woman, equal but distinct, and how they complement each other, and you know the proper in the struggle that so many have, but that call us to a higher standard, how to properly embrace our sexuality within the context of God's divine plan, disordered as we may be, that we strive for, which means, you know, we have to make sacrifice, it means we have to enter into the discipline, it means we have to have a sensitivity to sin, know what sin is. It means we have to have a sensitivity to the sacred that the body is. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. What constitutes the family? Without in any way diminishing the dignity of any human person. But like you said, as you said, and it's so true, if we're living, if we understand that we have the support in this faith, then everything falls into place.
It's so beautiful. Your words are beautiful, and it's what the faith is. But today, people, again, they don't want that. They want to do what they want to do. If it means, you know, man and man, woman and woman, groups of people. When you hear things as beautiful as you just said, people don't. It's about them now. We've been destroying God for a long time.
Well, you just said it. This is what, because we've relegated God to the fringe.
Yes.
If we talk about even the that Christianity or Catholics, Orthodox. I'm talking about Orthodox Catholics, those who adhere to the faith as it's come down to us, are being pushed to the fringe and being called rigid and worse. I don't know if there's any.
Believe it, as a layman, to hear my church not responding to this and to hear, you know, the prelates and the Pope talk about rigid and things like that, it sickens me.
So I heard a young man yesterday say, you know, it's like we're trying to live the faith.
Right.
Those who aren't living the faith, who want to change the faith, they're given a voice.
Yes.
They're given an ear. In other words, the ear of the church is turned toward them.
Because we have to be fair to these people because we've never let them talk, is false.
Go out of the way to be understanding and compassionate and loving and kind and even trying to, in some ways, promote their ideology or their whatever. But those,
just say yes to everything,
but those
free for all.
Those who are trying to live the faith, believe in the truth that has been handed down to us in this crazy upside down world, are by the very church pushed to the fringe as being somehow rigid, full of all kind of phobias, all kind of sicknesses, or hiding some kind of sicknesses. I mean, this has been repeated over and over and over. But thank God, I say that, you know, these are young people who are saying, you know what, we're gonna be the voice of one crying out in the desert, you know, make straight the way of the Lord. The world is in crisis. We need not be, or at least we certainly have a truth that's been given to us that will be the cause of our freedom, a true freedom, not the free reign of the flesh that is enslaving, but a freedom that comes from a God who is not permissive, but is demanding. But in his demand, he's not rigid. He's a God that is full of compassion and understanding. He knows the wounds we bear. He knows the world we live in. He knows that we have clay feet. But he gives the grace to slowly but surely, in due season, in due time, to bring us into our true self, you know, as created in his image and likeness. We got to take a break, I think, you know, and got to ask Armin, what are you doing, Armin? He's moving around like...
don't pay attention to Armin.
All the better for everyone to hear you.
What's that?
All the better to have everyone hear you.
Exactly. So everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. We'll talk, end the hour with... perhaps some resolutions, maybe, Tony, we'll see. Anyway, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month. As Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written,
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, It seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story, always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, inviting you to join the 2020 Theology of the Body Institute on the ultimate pilgrimage, walking and praying in the footsteps of Jesus. Join myself,
Christopher West,
Father Justin Brady,
Jason Clark,
and the TOB team as we visit Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Via Dolorosa, Bethlehem, and more.
The 2020 TOB Institute's Holy Lands Pilgrimage, Saturday, February 15th through Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, with an optional extension to Jordan, February 25th through the 27th. While you're on the 2020 TOB Pilgrimage, you'll have first-class hotel accommodations, air-conditioned tour buses, breakfast, and daily dinner, plus special meals, daily formation with Christopher West and chaplains. For complete information and registration for the 2020 TOB Institute's Holy Lands Pilgrimage, visit tobpilgrimages.com. That's tobpilgrimages.com. Or call 1-800-842-4842. Reserve now.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. As maybe we wrap up, I don't know. We'll see what we're doing. So are you back on?
I'm back, yeah.
So what do you have to say?
Not much.
I mean, this
not much.
This is a man with a million voices, and he has.
I like that he's impersonating me. He does it better than I do.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I love that. Yes, I am.
How would you impersonate Tony?
Right when he was on 2 weeks ago, uh-huh. He says, "This is my impersonation of Tony." I was listening, you know.
I'd be happy to impersonate you anytime.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that was not here. I was listening on the radio, and I'm like, "Man, he sounds better than me." But he's good that way because he's got all the voices.
I'd be afraid for somebody to impersonate.
Only somebody that does it well.
Anyway.
And he does it well.
We digress.
Be rather shocking. So resolutions, you know, what are the resolutions? I think for myself, do you have any, let me just ask you guys, do you have any resolutions for this year?
It takes me a few more weeks to figure it out. I've been doing it 2 weeks before.
So I have that ready by the time we go into the new
Check
year.
Back with me in about 2 weeks.
Resolutions. I thank God I can get up out of bed every day.
Right.
I ask Him for another day, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. And those are my resolutions. That's it.
Okay, got it. That makes sense. So you take it a day at a time.
Exactly.
Right? Take it like Jesus said. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't come. Today has troubles enough of its own. Suffering sufficient for the day. Oh man, you man, a little faith. Put your eyes on me. Don't take your eyes away from me. Maybe that's just the resolution.
Exactly.
Keep your eyes on God. But I do think that, you know, one of the things that I, not that I'm not doing this, but I really want to be more maybe proactive. But I suggest everybody, you know, that we this year, because there's so much confusion, but that we come to know the faith more deeply, that we live the faith more deeply, and that we defend the faith fearlessly. Because that's what I'm seeing with these young people, is that they're defending the faith fearlessly. I say it with a certain caution because they humbly express, and again, who are they? Well, we'll figure out who they are. I know who they are. But it's all over the place. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And what's nice is they're connecting to each other. And he realized we do have, well, I'll tell you, one of them is, and I mean, this guy, have you heard this, have you seen the interview with this guy, Alexander, the guy who, the young man who threw the Pachamamas into the
Tiber? No, I haven't.
If you should listen to this guy. His name is Alexander. I mean, keep meaning to come to the studio with his last name, but every so often I'll catch an interview with him, and it totally inspires me.
It's on the Taylor Marshall Show, right?
He was on the Taylor Marshall Show, yeah. He's been on LifeSite.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on a number of shows. But this guy, is very, first of all, he's a humble man, respectful, deep, I mean, absolutely loves our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blessed Virgin Mary, prays the rosary, recently married, but you listen to him and you think, you know what? It's true. God is going to raise up the prophets of our time, those voices crying out in the wilderness, who are going to really confound the wise of this world. And it is. It's a call away from the politicizing the church. I understand the church is in the world, and we have to be. We all live in dialogue with the world. I mean, that's why we're in the battle. That's why we struggle, because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, that's the thing. I think maybe this is what we forget.
Yeah,
we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so I think my resolution with regards to the people I serve is to help them and myself to know the faith more deeply, live it more deeply. You know, it boils down to this, doesn't it, really, that we should really make a resolution to want to be saints.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a saint isn't flying high, but it means that we are in the work of life. We're in the trenches. We're fighting the good fight, and we understand it's not going to be easy. Jesus didn't deceive us. He did not deceive us. He didn't say, "Hey, it's going to be really." You know, it's getting away from the soft Jesus. You know, I think tiptoeing through the tulips. I've said that before. You know, he didn't spend his life in a garden. He was, in fact, the one garden. The most famous garden that we find him in is the Garden of Gethsemane, right, where he sweats blood and where he says, "Yes, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but thy will be done." And he utters his fiat, his yes, to lay down his life. And in laying down his life, he calls his disciples to do the same. This is the thing I think that this horizontal perspective we have, that we somehow, I was reading the other day, even with regards to the Holy Father, the impression, it's just an impression, is that he seems to love the world. I shouldn't probably say this because it would just seems, I'm being imprudent by saying this, but because I shouldn't dare say this, but let me just, I'll quote this, okay? I did this last night at the end of the Mass. So we have the Mass, and then afterwards we do the chaplet, and then I speak a little bit more after the chaplet sometimes, depending on how I feel and how I feel where the people are. But the people, they tend to stay, you know. These are people that are very focused. They come to Mass. You know, they're not in a rush to get out of Mass. After Mass, you know, they're welcome to join me for the chaplet as we expose the Blessed Sacrament, and 90% do. And then afterwards, it gives me a chance to speak a little bit more, because these things are coming into my head even as I'm going through the Mass. And I was repeating to them the words of Pope John Paul II when he was raised to the papacy, and when he said, "Do not be afraid." And I guess as we're going into the new year, I say to defend the faith fearlessly. Have no fear in defending the faith. Have no fear in living the faith. Have no fear in knowing the faith. It's a hard faith. It's a hard teaching. It's a difficult teaching. And for this reason, when we all know that, we intuitively know that, and maybe that's why many prefer the soft religion, because it appeases the conscience. And does it mean that people are going to come running back into the church in droves because the church has become very soft and very... It just gives them reason to stay away. Mm-hmm. Why do I need even the discipline of going to Mass where I'm not going to be entertained?
Well, it's counterintuitive to church teaching. And the Church of Nice is prevailing, where you don't have to work to be a Christian. You don't have to work to be a Catholic. You just are there.
Just be nice.
Yeah.
Just be nice and be loving and don't make any judgments.
For me, that just doesn't make it, because life is a work.
Because life itself is not easy. That's why people can't.
Exactly.
That's why it becomes irrelevant, because people can't relate to it, because it's not reality. Our life is not reality. I just want to, before I forget, the quote of Pope John Paul II, when he said, when he was raised to the papacy, and he said, and his words resonated throughout the world, because when he died, everybody was repeating that. Everybody was speaking about how moved they were by these words, simple, but needed to be heard. He said, as he was raised to the papacy, he says, do not, he says, I speak to you, I think he says, don't quote, not a direct quote, but to Catholics, to Christians, to men and women of goodwill, I say to you, do not be afraid. Open your hearts to Christ. Open your hearts wide. Open the door wide. Open wide the door of your hearts to Christ. That was spoken with such conviction that you knew that this man, he believed that this was the only way, that there was no other way, no other way to conquer fear, no other way to have freedom, true freedom, no other way to salvation but to Jesus Christ. And because the way of the Lord, as the Lord himself said, is a difficult, Jesus, I mean, through the whole of the gospel, he says, this is not an easy way. He said, this is a very narrow path. It's a very difficult path, and very few people can stay on this path. And then Peter said, well, Lord, well, how can man be saved? And Jesus says, well, man, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. But to go back to what Armin was saying, and Tony, you as well, the general impression one gets out there is that this is a big, wide path that you can do anything, you basically do what you want. I mean, the thing is, God loves you, and he does. But all I say is, his love is not as the love of any parent for a child. I mean, parents who really love their children are not permissive parents.
Yeah,
they're not going to say to their children, you know, hey, you can do anything you want. You do whatever you want, you know. We knew that when I was a kid, you know, if you wanted something, you know, you knew you didn't go to your father, because dad would say, no way. You know, you go to your mom, and she was a little bit more, you know, but no, but the two, they complemented each other. But so as we go into this new year, let's stop it already. Stop it already with this soft Jesus, the nice church. I mean, the church is a loving church. It's a church that people want the challenge. That's the thing. People want the challenge. They know, they intuitively know the truth, and they want to they want to be reaffirmed, confirmed, challenged. They want to be lifted out of this cesspool of a filth that is all around us, the superficial, the shallow, the falseness of it all. People know it. Anyway, all right, that's it. Happy New Year,
everybody. Happy New Year, everyone.
Sorry for the late arrival, but you understand. Almighty God bless all of you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be in peace.
No time to hide.